The title of the message today in our fan or follower series is simply this: The Open Invitation. I hope you remember that last week we discovered that we have clouded the lines between fan or followers. We don't really distinguish that the way that we should. And the fact is, what we learn from the scriptures is that Christ has called us to be followers, to be imitators of him, and not just fans that are cheering somewhere off in the sideline when something goes well. Today, I want us to have an honest, open look and discussion about who can follow. That's an important discussion that we're going to have today, and we're going to base it on the Word of God. Here's what I know. We have clouded, and listen to me very carefully, we have clouded the lines who can and who can't follow Jesus in our churches. Today, I want to make sure that we really delineate those lines very carefully. Now, there's an old adage that says this, and you may be familiar with it. It simply says this: if it's too good to be true, then it is what? So we can speak out this morning. We want open participation. If it's too good to be true, then it is what? Too good to be true. Okay, let's do it one more time. If it's too good to be true, then it is what? All right, good enough. All right. So I'm just curious. Have you ever watched those commercials or maybe heard something on the radio that goes something like this and says, anyone can buy a car here? No credit, bad credit, we can give you credit. We hear those things, and then they'll say something to the effect that your job, it equals credit. But when you listen to the disclaimer at the end, or you read the disclaimer at the end of that message, you find out that what it really means is that anyone doesn't really mean anyone. Maybe you've going through the process of getting a cell phone. That's what my wife is doing right now, and she's having a hard time with this. And you see these commercials or these advertisements that say, hey, free phone, or $50 for a phone, or $10 for a phone. But when you go in and check the fine line print, you find out that it's just not anyone that can get that phone. What they want you to do is to sign your vital organs away at your passing to get that phone. Really, when we look at these discounts and these advertisements, we really have discovered that it only applies to a certain group of people who are, in this quotation, well-qualified customers. We've heard that, haven't we? We've witnessed that. Often, we find out that we are not the well-qualified customers. It just seems like whenever people say this, any advertisement says, well, anyone's welcome, anyone can do this, anyone can get this, it's really not a deal. Not anyone can cash in on what's being presented. They really don't mean anyone. Well, we've been using for a springboard for this message series Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he just simply puts this out and says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, we'll want to look at that word, anyone. That's where we want to camp at today, and we want to find out what anyone really means. When making this invitation to potential followers, Jesus uses a word that we hear very often in our society today: anyone. Anyone can come here. Anyone can do this. Anyone can do that. And to color that word in, I looked in this in the thesaurus and discovered that anyone really means anyone. Because words that are associated with it are like everybody, or anybody, or everyone. And when I see those words, to me, what they express are an invitingness. There's not an exclusiveness to this. Anyone simply does mean anyone. There's no lines drawn. There's no precursors that are set. There's no prerequisites that are required. We just see this wonderful, open-ended invitation where Jesus speaks up and looks across the masses and says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we see this wonderful invitation. And I want us to look at it very carefully today and discover three basic things about this. And that's this. The first one would be, anyone is welcomed. Over the years, we may have gotten the bad picture. We may have gotten to the point where we hear anyone. We really don't think it really means anyone. When we hear the word anyone, we might say, oh yeah, right. There's a catch. There's some small print anywhere. But when Jesus says it, there's no catch. There's no small print. There's no hidden fee. It's all laid out in the verse that we've just quoted to you today. When Jesus says anyone, he literally means anyone. The crowds that were amassed around him that day, they really spoke to that fact. When they looked at him and they saw what he said, if anyone would come after me, and they saw the menagerie of people that were around him, they realized he meant that. He just didn't have this exclusive club of people around him. And by the way, when someone looks at the church, this church, or any church, they ought to be able to see that anyone is welcomed. Are we really there, though? Is that really where we're at? Why is that? Because we're really not the religious elite here. At least I don't think I am. I don't think that you are as well. See, what Jesus did, he just took 12 ordinary men. He took 12 ordinary men and he did extraordinary things. He took them from all walks of life, all social and economic backgrounds, and he said, come, follow me. So I want you to hear this morning. Jesus just says the same thing today. Come, follow me. And I want you to be able to see that. I want you to be able to understand that. And if you're not doing that today, it's my hope and prayer that you will begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today. See, to understand this, you have to understand this, that Jesus, he was this rabbi. And the word rabbi just simply means he was a master, he was a teacher. So let me paint you an accurate, non-prosperity gospel picture of who Jesus Christ is. First of all, he was homeless. That meant this. He didn't have a place to lay his head. That also meant that he was broke. He was penniless. In fact, when tax time came for the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't have the pleasure of just writing a check out and paying his taxes. He had to summon a fish up from the Sea of Galilee with a coin in its mouth to pay his taxes. That's who our Lord and Savior was. He was unconventional. The Bible tells us that he spoke in a way that never a man had spoke like him. There was something that was drawing and attracting to him. And he was this rabbi, just this Jewish rabbi. He was a teacher of God's word. In his day, that meant he was a teacher of the Old Testament. And the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, were very important to the Hebrews and the people that are around there that day. And all the writings of the lesser or minor prophets and the greater prophets. So rabbis were special because they had a group of disciples around them. Now we get the word disciples from the Greek word mathetes, and it just simply means learner or pupil. It describes one who has accepted the instructions and given to him to make it his rule of conduct. In other words, if you were under a rabbi's tutelage, what he said is what you would do. That's what a disciple of a rabbi would do. In the New Testament, we can read that they were disciples of John. They followed John around. In fact, they followed John around and they seen this guy come up, and John saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who appears to take the sins of the world away. They were disciples of the Pharisees who claimed that they were disciples of Moses. And they would follow the Pharisees around, hoping to get in their elite group. And then there was this homeless, unconventional, broke rabbi, born of a woman by the name Mary, who would begin to look out over the crowd, and he would point to this one, and he'd point to that one, and he would say, follow me. Unheard of in his day. Because a rabbi was supposed to be very careful in who he selected to follow him. A lot of people just couldn't make the cut, you see, because to be a disciple, to be someone that was following after one of these Jewish rabbis, you had to know the Bible. You had to know what was printed of that day. Oh, they might ask you questions like, how many times was the or what is the name of the Lord recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. And it was expected of that disciple that they would be able to give that number. I don't know what that number is, but I could cheat and tell you by looking on my computer. And if they just couldn't pass the test, here's what would happen. They would go somewhere else, and they would become stonemasons. They would become fishermen. They would take up some kind of trade. I want you to take note that that's exactly who the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ was that day. Fishermen. Tradesmen. The common, everyday folks of his day. For those students who were wanting to become one of his disciples, a particular rabbi, they had to go through a process. They had to go through a process and this prerequisites that were set before them to even be considered to be a disciple. For our college students, or maybe potential college students today, you know what the acronym GPA means. It means grade point average. You know what SAT means. You know what ACT means. Those are things that are required to get into school. Without the right things, you're not going to get into the college you want. Let's say, as a young person fresh out of high school, you have this ambition, oh, I'm going to go to Miami University, Oxford. Well, let me tell you, you better have the grades, and you better have the other work along with it if you want to get into the Oxford campus, because without it, you're not going to do that. To be a disciple of a Jewish rabbi, you had to have impressive knowledge, you had to have the right prerequisites in place, and it was expected of you to have those things in place at all times. Something that we need to understand that's clearly communicated in the Gospels about following the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need to get a hold of when we look at this first point. Anyone is welcome. When they looked at being a follower of Jesus Christ, there's only one prerequisite that was inscribed there, and that was willingness. So as I look across the congregation today, the only thing that separates people from being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, what's holding us back? Our own personal desires will keep us from following. Oh, it happened in his day. I mean, one would come to him and say, oh, master, we know that you're good. And it was a rich young ruler. And Jesus would say, why call me good? There's none good except God above. And then he would inquire. He said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he said, do this, and do this. He said, I've done those things since my youth. And then Jesus said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. And it tells us that this young man that come running to the Lord Jesus Christ walked away sad, because that's not what he wanted to do. He wasn't willing to give it all away. He wasn't willing to give all of it away. If you have in your Bibles Luke, the 5th chapter, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, when he said anyone, he meant anyone. Starting in verse 27, he calls somebody that no one else would have accepted. He calls this guy by the name of Levi, who is, in our term, we would call Matthew. Here's what it says. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector. The IRS has a bad reputation in America. They had, as tax collectors in ancient Palestine, even worse reputations. Why? Because they would collect and they would skim off the top. They would keep money for themselves. So to keep Rome happy, they had to take extra to keep themselves in the kind of lifestyle that they wanted. Here's what it says. He was sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Jesus looks right at him, and he says, follow me. And then Levi gave him, it says, so he rose and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Now listen here, here's the other set of rabbis. They look at this and they say, hey, hold it a minute. They complained against his disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Go ahead and underline that in your Bible. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick." The question we've underlined there from the Pharisees is asked several times in the Gospels. And it's from the religious leaders, the Pharisees of their days. And here is the short answer. Why did Jesus sit down with people who were less than desirable? Because he loved them. Because he could look at them and he could see potential in them that no one else can see. So let me make sure I'm clear this morning. When Jesus looks at you and he says, "Come, follow me," he's seeing something in you that's so magnificent, so unbelievable, so grand and glorious that others can't see. I may not make you rich and famous in this life, but he sees his purpose lived out in your life. So Jeff, he saw this guy that people hated. And I think about what he did there. Looked right at him. And he says, "Come, I want you to follow me." What did he do? Well, Kim, here's what he did. He got up. He bent to follow him. He walked where he walked. Jimmy did what he did. He gave himself over to him. So, not if you got what I'm trying to say this morning. The open invitation is based on one prerequisite, and that's simply this: your willingness to follow. Now, if you're not willing to follow, that's the way it is. That's not Jesus' fault. That's certainly not my fault. It's not your wife's fault or your husband's fault or anybody else's fault. The only fault that can be laid on that is it is your fault. You do not want to follow him. So when Jesus says anyone was welcome, the crowd began to understand as they looked around. And he's got this guy over here. He's got this guy over there. Isn't that guy a fisherman? You mean a fisherman can follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen on fishermen, because I'm one of them. There you go. I know you're getting back on that pond back there and nailing them, aren't you? All right. When Jesus said anyone was welcome, they begin to understand he meant what he said. So let me speak to the church this morning. When we invite, when we extend the invitation of the gospel, I tell you, when somebody walks in here, they ought to be able to say, "Yeah, that's the way it is." As pastor, I have been privileged to see people become members of this church from different countries. We've got one in Africa right now. I'm waiting for John to come back. We've had him from the Philippines. We've had him from Guam. Different places. From Latin America. That's the way the gospel should look. And that's the way the church should look. Amen? All right, that's to my friends here at the church. So, it's true, anyone means everyone. That's our next point today. So, everyone. That's a word that's connected with anyone, everyone. Say that with me, everyone. There's a struggle there. And we'd never say it. We don't buy into this idea that the church should be for just anyone or for everyone. We kind of like church the way it is, don't we? Let's be honest about it. We usually prefer things to stay the same. And the same soon becomes a standard, and pretty soon a standard becomes a qualification. I think Jesus knew that when he said these words in Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 23, and he reminds them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let them take up their cross and follow me." See, he's reminding us there that there shouldn't be any qualifications. So Jesus does this thing that was incredulous to the Pharisees of his days, but he does away with the qualifications to follow. He begins to pick people out from everywhere and say, "Follow me, follow me." He gets rid of this long list of prerequisites and says, "Well, you need to be able to do this, do this. You need to fill out the standard application of process to be able to be a part of the process." And I think some of us sitting here in the sanctuary need to do away with some of our preconceived ideas of what it means to trust and follow Christ. See, we've parsed in tense what it is to follow Christ, what it should look like. We don't like to talk about it. We want to sort of keep it hush. But on our own, we've got some unwritten code. For instance, there's kind of this unwritten dress code that's expected. There are people that expect me to be in a suit and tie every Sunday. By the way, I don't wear that because you expect me to be in it. That's the rebel in me telling you that. I like to wear a suit and tie because that's what I have grown accustomed to. But I could be equally comfortable in a pair of Dockers and a pair of nicer shoes that would be a little more comfortable than these Oxfords I have on and a golf shirt. I could. And what I've preached today would be no different in that style of clothing than it would be with this chintzy suit that I bought down in Sevierville for $49. By the way, if you need to get clothing, don't spend the big bucks on it. Shop. I'm going to write a book someday on how to buy cheesy stuff for nothing. All right. But we have this unwritten dress code. Oh, maybe we've forgotten that we have sort of an unwritten political code as well. If somebody comes in, it's expected, they're going to be voting this way, they're not going to be voting that way. Or maybe there's an unwritten code on how much money somebody makes. You know what? They don't have much of a job. I don't want to talk to them. I'm not going to be around them. Or maybe we have this unwritten code that we don't like to talk about, whether somebody should consume alcohol or not, or maybe what type of music they should listen to, or maybe we have some kind of inkling they have a social agenda. Maybe it's denomination. You know what? They don't come from a Southern Baptist background. They don't even come from a Baptist background. The list can stack up pretty quickly. And before you know it, we have all these qualifications. We look at somebody, they're not dressed the proper way. We look at someone and we figure out, well, they're not going to be voting this November the way that I think they should vote. Or we look at them and we realize, they don't like the type of music that I like. And it comes very clear that we have qualifications. Listen to me carefully this morning. Jesus didn't just get rid of qualifications when he said anyone. He did something else. He did something miraculous for the person who was trying to follow. He did away with excuses. That's the third thing this morning. See, when Jesus invites anyone to follow him, he just didn't break down the barriers to keep so many people from, that not only kept people from learning about God and learning more about God, he got rid of all the excuses different people are hiding behind. I've touched on this a little bit this morning. Let's talk about it again. So there was no excuse for this person who wasn't the religious elite. Someone who was just a tradesman. Do you want to know what my background is? You really want to know what my background is? I threw boxes for a living. I was given an order at the Kroger Company. And the order had lists printed on it, and it said ABC 24. I would go to that slot, ABC 24, and I'd reach in and pick out that box. Oh, it could have been Ragu spaghetti sauce, it could have been detergent, but whatever it was. I would take that and place it on a skid. Then I would go to the next one and do it over and over again, sometimes to the tune of 2,000 pieces like that a day. That's what I did. Sounds repetitive, doesn't it? It was, wasn't it, Larry? Sounds sort of beneath some of you, doesn't it? I'd never do that. That's what I did. But God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise and the weak things to bind the strong. See, when God called me to follow him, he didn't look at, well, this is just a warehouse guy. He didn't look at it, well, this is just some mean kid. He looked at me and said, that guy, he's going to pastor. That guy's going to preach. So whatever excuses that I could have, oh, Lord, you know, I'm not that smart. Oh, Lord, you know, and which I'm not, really, to be honest with you. I'm not that smart. He did away from them. So the dropout student, by the way, I was terrible in high school. I've since made amends for myself in higher education. But I wasn't terrible in high school. Barely got out of high school. Do you know what that means? That means I almost failed, to put it bluntly to you. My parents were worried that I was going to pass high school. But that didn't stop the Lord from using me. I want you to know it doesn't stop the Lord from using you as well. That means the mother of four who feels like, oh, I can't begin to study God or about God. I can't begin to know his word. I'm just a nobody. Listen, yes, you can. What's been your excuse? I think most of us have held off expanding our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or not even beginning our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we say, oh, we're busy. I can't do that. What's your excuse? Maybe you're putting too many hours in the office. Maybe it's because you want to be focused on your marriage. Or maybe your kids need the extra time, the intention. Maybe it's because of the economy you've had to do a second job. Others will say today, I've got this past. I can't do this. You've got baggage from addictions. You've got baggage from a divorce. You've got baggage from bankruptcy. The excuses are long. And how can we argue against those kind of excuses? Someone says, oh man, I just went through a tumultuous divorce. How am I going to argue against that? Jesus does. He just simply says, anyone means everyone. There's no qualifications here. So I want you to understand, anyone's welcome to have a relationship with Jesus. Anyone with a sexual past. The Bible says anyone. If you're an ex-con, it means anyone. If you're recently divorced, or maybe your divorce is 10 years in the past, it still means anyone. If you're a legalist, in other words, you know what to do, when to do it, and that's hard folks to get along with, by the way, it means anyone. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Well, the gospel means anyone. Jesus says, follow me. Maybe you're a pothead or a pillhead. I heard that expression the other day. Well, it means anyone. Maybe you're an addict of some sort. It means anyone. Maybe you're the worst of the worst, and we would call that a hypocrite. Someone who pretends to be something that they're not. We've got a whole state full of those in California, from what I understand. It means anyone. Now, we have to be ready, church, when this happens. When we embrace that this invitation is to anyone, because anyone can come into this church. And it kind of messes things up. That means the person sitting next to you, you may look at them and you realize, man, that's an unchurched person. But you have to be willing to accept that anyone means anyone. And there's a difference between following Christ and having meaningful membership in this church. So someone from a different social circle may be around you. Someone's music collection may be a little different than yours. Maybe you'll look at their wardrobe and you'll say, man, that is, what in the world is that? You know, you don't like that. You gotta be ready, because anyone means everyone. Followers are willing to break down walls. If you and I, as a church, are willing to break down walls, that means we're going to trash some things in our life. We're going to trash the unwritten codes. We're going to welcome anyone into God's family right alongside where we're sitting at. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, that doesn't sound right. We just can't let anyone in our church. We've got to, we just can't invite them, let them show up any old way into God's family and tolerate anything they want. That's not biblical. And I will say, yes, you're absolutely right. That is not biblical. So I'm not saying that we tolerate anything sinful. When a person wants to become a Christian, it's right to make sure that they understand there's some do's and there don'ts, but realize that they're in a process of God working in their life. So we're talking about following Christ. We're not talking about being the pastor of this church. We're not talking about being a deacon in this church or leading the music or anything of that nature. What we're talking about is them to begin to take the steps to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And here's what I've known as a pastor. If God can't convict them, what makes me think that I'm going to ever convict them in their life to do something that they probably shouldn't be doing? Amen. The best truths in our life are the ones that we come to realize ourselves. You know? I can get up and preach about, oh man, you shouldn't buy a lottery ticket. And there'll still be so many people in here when they see $12 million Powerball, man, they're going to march off and they're going to buy $5 a ticket. They'll probably do the automatic thing, whatever they do with that. Maybe they got their own kids' birthday numbers or whatever they're going to play. You know, I could get up and preach on that. But until God reveals in their heart, it's probably not the wisest way to invest your money. It's not going to matter. A truth can be revealed by the Holy Spirit in their life, and man, they can just dump it. You know what? I'm tired of sending $5 to the state of Ohio every week and watching it go down the drain. A truth like that is better off learned on their own. So, when Jesus makes this invitation and he says, anyone, some of the people who respond to that invitation, oh, they've got a past you may not approve of. Some of them will have been involved in lifestyles that you're embarrassed to even hear about. But friends, don't be a fan. Be a follower. Fans don't want to handle new people. Followers are willing to do that. Fans prefer not to know anything about anyone, but followers are willing to sit down and to listen. Followers are willing to hear the stories about the brokenness and sin in their life and welcome these people with loving arms of Christ. Both brand new Christians and longtime Christians all have their sin in their life. Be ready. Be ready to be receptive, listening, and loving in their life. The fourth and the final thing this morning is this. If it's anyone, it's everything. Now, when Jesus makes this invitation, he welcomes anyone that will come after him. So he makes it clear that when you choose to follow him, and I want to be clear about this message today. When Jesus asks people to follow him, he's asking them to give up everything. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. I mean, just not parsing and tensing a couple things out of your life. Well, I'll give up smoking. I may feel extra Christian-like, and I'm going to give up alcohol, you know, that kind of thing. All right, I'm not going to gamble anymore. No, that's what he's talking about. You can deny yourself some certain things for your betterment. All those things I named, you're going to benefit from not doing those things. What he's talking about is total surrender to him. Here I am, Lord. And you're going to work out everything else that it is that needs to be worked out in my life. What I do, what I don't do. So this morning, I want you to understand that to be accepted in this rabbi's school, at the time Jesus was a rabbi, they would leave their homes, they would leave their jobs, and whatever was holding them back, they would follow him. Literally, they would follow the rabbi wherever he went. So today, I need a volunteer. Brother Ken Ammon. Come here. This is twice. I'm going to ask Brother Ken Ammon to be my disciple. Are you willing to be my disciple?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to walk over and meet some folks, okay? So, as my disciple, Kenny's following me. And so, I'm going to take a seat here for a moment, Ken. Let's take a seat. Go ahead. So that means when the rabbi sets, he sets. Let's go on. Do you know this guy here? I want to introduce you to Larry Head and his wife Peggy.
Larry, nice to meet you.
Okay. Now, is there anything that my disciple here can help you with? Ask him for money. Go ahead.
He knows I don't have any.
All right. We can go back here. Here's a young lady on crutches. We could ask her. Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good.
All right, do you know Ken?
Yes.
Yes, you already know him, don't you? Yeah. I mean, we could go back over here. Let's see these folks. This is one of our deacons. It's Brother Dave. It's Brother Ken and his wife. But see where the leader went, they would go as well. I mean, I thought about going up in the balcony, and it's just a belabor point, but thank you, Brother Kenny. God bless you. All right, give him a little applause for that. That was, I'll probably get it in the next deacon's meeting. Now, to follow this rabbi named Jesus, It meant more than just walking around, looking good, smiling, doing the meet and greet. It meant giving up everything. Because when Jesus would spend the night, often it was outside. When Jesus had to eat, it was often, where are we going to get the next meal? You know, all those things. That's what it really meant to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus eventually would walk into persecution where they would arrest him. And they would try him. And they would crucify him. So that's what Jesus offers. The greatest teacher that ever was, God in the flesh. He openly looks at everyone. And I have no doubt about this, that every man, woman, boy, and girl who's ever lived, some way or another, there's been an invitation extended to them. The grace of God has appeared to all men. There is an invitation extended to them, and he says simply, come follow me. And when he says anyone, he means everyone, and with no qualifications, no excuses. But even though he makes this invitation to anyone, he also guarantees that it will cost you everything. So are you ready? As a church, are we ready? As a non-believer, are you willing to say, okay, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I'm willing to go. A few years back in my life, I remember very distinctly working for the Kroger Company and praying. My wife was at work, and I was praying. I had the night off. We both worked second shift. And I was praying for people that I worked with, people that I had relationships with, asking the Lord to move in their life. And I distinctly remember an invitation given to me. A voice, not audible in the room, but a voice nonetheless that I could hear. And the voice just simply said, Mark, I want you to preach. Can I tell you what I did? Jeff, I didn't say, why me, Lord? I didn't say, Lord, I just barely crept out of high school. I didn't say, Lord, there's others that are more gifted than I would ever be. I remember saying yes. And I closed my eyes. I went to sleep. And soon after that, I announced my call into the ministry. That's why I'm here today. That's where it's led me. I mean, I've worked for 25 years in the Kroger Company. You know, I've got going in my eighth or ninth year here as the senior pastor. You know, my next 9 years, the Lord allows me to live. I don't know what that looks like, but I do know this. As Ken was following me around, Ken and everybody here, I want you to know I'm doing my best to follow the Lord Jesus Christ around where he's leading me, where he wants me to go, what that looks like. Sometimes I really don't know what it's going to look like. I never thought it would look like this the way it does today, but I'm so grateful. So I want you to understand, for you today, there's this open invitation. That's what Jesus is offering. I want us to look at today's challenges as we close out today. Now, friend, think about this very, very carefully. Do I truly believe that anyone means everyone? I'm asking the members of this church and those who are potentially might become members of this church, or even those who are thinking about maybe entering in the kingdom. I want you to realize that God is asking that question to you today. Do you really believe that anyone means everyone? Because I've just showed you in the Bible, it does. And by the way, it still means that today. Second thing, am I welcoming to those who are new around me? You know, We've got our frozen chosen that we hang with, and we don't want to introduce another couple into the crowd. We don't want someone else in the Sunday school class that might mess up the chemistry, the synergy of that class. We don't want another instrument on the stage. We don't want another voice in the choir or the praise team, because it just might mess up the synergy. Listen, friend, anyone means everyone. And last, this morning, what excuses have I used for not following him? Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father, again, humbly I come before you in this invitation time, just simply asking, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak through the remaining few minutes of this service during this invitation time, that our words this morning went beyond just being the words of man, but really the words that you wanted them to hear this morning about your receptiveness to them, about your extending a call to them, an open invitation. And while we can have these preconceived ideas that you really don't mean anyone, Father, you really did mean anyone. And I pray today for somebody that's here, maybe several people here that feel that they have things that would hold them back from following you. Lord, the only thing holding them back is just their willingness. Their willingness to follow you, their willingness to give it all to you. And Lord, I pray in this prayer that they would realize, Lord, when you ask something for us, from us, you always give something back in return. And so you call us to give our life to you, but in turn, you give us life and life that is everlasting. Lord, you never take away without returning something far greater in return. So I pray for them this morning that they will see that what you're calling them for is far greater than what they ever will lose. And I pray for the membership of this church, that we will continue to be welcoming, that we will continue to be open, and that we will continue, Father, to not to have preconceived notions on what it truly means to follow you. Lord, there's a difference between being a member of this church and there's a difference between following you. And Lord, it may be that people come to saving knowledge of Christ here and they go somewhere else to be a member, but that's okay. We are about the Father's business, calling people into the right relationship with you. So I pray, Father, that you will extend through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit this invitation today, and that you will draw with cords of love. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.